Jackson Bloom. I am also from Children's Hospital Los Angeles choir program. And I'm presenting today about some longitudinal trends in multiple drug use among young injection drug users. First, longitudinal studies of drug users can offer insights into patterns of use, including continuation of use, cessation of use, binging. This presentation is going to describe some of the patterns of multiple drug using among young injection drug users, particularly young injecting ketamine users, and examines the impact of individual and social factors on the cessation of multiple drug use. Polydrug use is a recognized health risk among heroin and cocaine users, particularly injecting drug users. It is linked to HIV and HCV exposure. It is a prevalent practice among so-called club drug users, but the associated risks are not as well understood. We're here going to define multiple drug use in particular. Polydrug use is kind of a broad term. We're going to define multiple drug use as the use of two or more substances within a 30-day period, and this can include concurrent and sequential drug using as well as mixing. A little background on the ketamine study. Ketamine is a surgical anesthetic. It was originally developed and still used as a surgical anesthetic. In the late 1980s and 1990s, it emerged as a drug of abuse among club-going populations, primarily sniffing, some smoking. In the mid-late to 1990s, reports began emerging of injection ketamine use, and the ketamine study was designed to investigate the health risk associated with injecting ketamine and among ketamine-injecting drug users. The reason for the association between multiple or polydrug use and ketamine injecting use is that we found that ketamine injection is associated with some very heavy experimental drug use, extensive drug using history, injection events involving drug mixing, and concurrent polydrug use. So no studies have yet examined how these kind of risky behaviors in this type of high-risk population evolves longitudinally over time. The enrollment criteria in this study was the young people are between 16 and 18 years old and had injected ketamine within the past 2 years. This presentation is primarily on the Los Angeles section of the study, which included a longitudinal component. Young people were recruited from neighborhoods in street locations such as Hollywood, Santa Monica, and Venice Beach. Our ethnographic interviewers also went into club and dance venues and found plenty of ketamine use, but very little ketamine injection. It was primarily sniffing. So this sample is primarily street recruited. Questions focused on drug injection events, drug using history, risk behaviors. 101 injecting drug users were recruited in Los Angeles that were eligible for enrollment in the longitudinal section. Subjects consented up to 5 follow-up interviews. Obviously, this was a somewhat mobile and hard-to-track population, so we didn't have great retention to the full 5 interviews. Follow-up interviews included the same format as the baseline, including questions about recent drug use, multiple drug use, recent injection, recent ketamine injection. Of the 101 eligible respondents, 79 had completed at least one follow-up interview, and 69 completed 2 or more. This analysis is done with a sample of 69 who had completed 2 or more because we needed to allow them sufficient time to exhibit change in their drug use. This is the basic demographic background. primarily the sample was white and heterosexual, slightly more males than females. A large percentage of the population was currently homeless. This may have to do with our street-based sampling. About 50% of the homeless sample was what we would call travelers, highly mobile homeless population that moves from area to area based on drug availability, weather, work availability, police harassment. So we actually were very fortunate in retaining that portion of our population because we were active in doing phone-based interviewing. Also, it's not on the slide, but the baseline prevalence of HCV as self-reported, we did not do serum testing, was 26.1% in this population. In terms of their injection drug history, a majority preferred injecting as a mode of administration over sniffing, smoking, or oral administration of drugs. Respondents had a broad history of injecting drugs, not just ketamine. This speaks to what I said before about it's a highly experimental population. Large percentage had the big three, heroin, methamphetamine, powder cocaine, but we had people who had injected LSD, mushroom tea. There was a report of someone who had injected alcohol, which we hadn't asked about systematically because we didn't expect that. So it's an unusually high drug injecting population. This is their baseline 30-day use. Again, in the last month, high prevalence of drug abuse of a broad variety of substances. Other drugs here primarily refers to tryptamines and phenylethylamines. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. There's also quite a bit of prescription drug abuse among this population. This analysis, we're going to use the measure multiple drug use, number of substances reported in the previous 30 days. The substances we assessed included marijuana, heroin, cocaine, crack, ketamine, LSD, mushrooms, GHB, ecstasy, inhalants, and other drugs. This did not include alcohol, so this is illegal drugs. Longitudinal change in multiple drug use, we assess that using a change score simply defined as the difference in multiple drug use at baseline versus their final follow-up interview. At baseline, this is the table of multiple drug use. Again, about 3.5 substances in the last month, 3 being the mean, but as high as 5, 6, or 7 different substances in the last month among some of this population. Men had a slightly higher 30-day multiple drug use than women. Older respondents had a slightly higher multiple drug use than younger respondents. These were not significant differences. Respondents who reported being HCV positive, again, this was self-report, had a significantly higher multiple drug use. Their mean was about 4.4 compared to about 3.25 among the rest of our population. Longitudinally speaking, a majority of our respondents actually decreased the number of illegal drugs that they'd used in the previous month, and another about 16% were unchanged. Only 23.2 had increased the number of drugs used over our period of follow-up. It's not on this slide, but about 18.8% of respondents had ceased using any illegal drugs by our follow-up, by our final follow-up. So that is worth noting. And on average, the reduction in multiple drug use was about one type of drug. So, and this is these are simply our change scores, how much they decreased over time. You can again see the majority of users had decreased use over time. These are predictors of decreased multiple drug use over time. The respondents who were older at their final follow-up had a significantly greater decrease in multiple drug use than the younger respondents, about 1.7 mean difference. And And additionally, about over a quarter of the older respondents had ceased their illegal drug use by the final follow-up, compared to about 10% of the younger respondents. Respondents who reported being housed at their final follow-up had a greater decrease as well, and in that group, about 27% had ceased illegal drug use, again, compared to close to 10% of those who remained homeless. No differences were found between men and women. On HCV, it's a slightly more complex story. Respondents who reported an incident HCV infection, they were at risk for HCV at their baseline interview and reported to us that they had a positive test during the follow-up period, did not show substantial decreases in their multiple drug use, particularly compared to both HCV positive and those who remained at risk for HCV had shown similar decreases in their drug use. It's an interesting and kind of provocative finding. However, our numbers here are very small, and we did not do serum testing, so we were reliant on self-report. So obviously, I would love to see this with a larger sample. Finally, we did a small linear regression model looking at the effect of increasing age and homeless status on multiple drug use, and they were found to be independent of each other. Older respondents did not become housed at a higher rate than younger respondents. And together, they accounted for about 17% in the variation of the decrease. And that model was, both variables contributed significantly to that model. In terms of implications, interventions aimed at assisting high-risk youth with obtaining housing may show decreases in multiple drug use and decreases in HCV risk. Younger IDUs may also particularly benefit from interventions to help them reduce their use of multiple drugs. And limitations. The study... this is an important secondary finding, but the study was not designed specifically to investigate this question. We might have designed some of the questions differently. The sample is also not representative of young multiple drug users in general. It's a fairly small sample that becomes an issue with the HCV detection. In the future, we're going to move to doing some longitudinal modeling, multi-level modeling that will allow us to look at how the fluctuations in housing are associated with fluctuations in drug use over time in this population. And that's kind of our next step. So I'd also like to acknowledge my primary investigator and staff. Allow me to click over. Yeah. Oh, there we go. I'd like to thank our principal investigator, Dr. Steve Lanknow, as well as my colleagues on the project, Dr. Saunders and Dodi Hatazi, as well as Erica Alarcon, who was with our New Orleans sample, as well as thank to the staff at Choir in general for being supportive.